Let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. We start chapter 3 today, the first three verses. 1 John 3, 1 to 3. In the world, there's only two types of people, believers and unbelievers. Believers in Jesus Christ and non-believers. None of those two types. There are many types of unbelievers. There's make believers, just professing believers. There's those who deny Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's many people who trust in some sort of religion or cult or spirituality other than Christianity. Then there's atheists. There's agnostics, but all of these are unbelievers. There's only two types of people in the world, believers and unbelievers. There's only one type of true believer. Isn't that great? There's all these unbelievers, but there's only one type of believer that's a born-again Christian that's indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, and God knows whose are his. Jesus said, you must be born again. So there's believers and unbelievers. I'm glad we're not confused like those unbelievers. They don't know what they believe in. And there's all kinds of them. They're checking things out all the time. We're believers, and we found it, the truth. We're set. There's only the real thing, and then there's the not real thing concerning salvation. And there are counterfeits, and there's truth. And that's what John is covering here in 1 John. Because there were counterfeits that came out from them, false teachers, and he calls them antichrist. They're counterfeits. The devil counterfeits everything. He wants to rip people off. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. We went through this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. They were in the church, but they really weren't of us. They're part of the church, but not of us. That's why they left. Those are the counterfeits, unbelievers. Came out of the church, from us, but not of us. In chapter 3, John is going to cover who the true child of God is, who really is a born-again Christian, and who is not a true child of God. He first covers the love of God, that God has for his children. God loves all, but he has this special relationship with his children, and their prayers are answered. You see, a true believer has this love of that God has for them, and that love is the basis of our salvation. It all started with God's love, our salvation. Now, what a blessing to be called a child of God and know that God loves us. It's a blessing to know that God loves us and that we're a child of God. I'm sure we don't dwell on that a lot, that we're a child of God, because we have human relatives, but realistically, God is our Father. We're a child of God. What better Father could we have? We're a child of God. Now, not all people are God's children. I hear people say that all the time. We're not all God's children. We're all God's creation. But there is this group of people called God's children. This unique group. This special group. Only one group that are called God's children, and those are believers. John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. Gospel of God, of John chapter 1. Actually, they're all the Gospels of God. John chapter 1, verse 10. We're told here that he was in the world, Jesus, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, nation of Israel, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, this privilege, this right, to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, Jesus Christ, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, that's why we're told we're born again. We weren't born like we're naturally born from the flesh and through man and the will of man, but we are born of God. We were born twice. First, the natural way, physical way, and now we're born of God. So we're God's child because we've been born again. Speaking spiritually, we're God's, you know, there are God's children walking all around the earth. And then there's orphans all over the place. There's God's children and there's orphans. And it's one's choice to be an orphan or God's child. I mean, that's a no-brainer. You're either out there on your own, planning your own life, in charge of your life, headed for a bad destiny, an orphan here, no one to call on that can help in every situation. You're an orphan out there, or you can be God's child. What would you rather be? I'd rather be God's child, protected by the Lord. And love, God's love, brought us into God's family, been adopted through Christ, so now we're God's child. And then we get to our text today, 1 John 3, verse 1, and he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. God's plan for salvation became with God's love for man. Don't ever doubt God's love for you. His love isn't measured by circumstances. Don't ever doubt God's love for you. God always loved you even before you were a Christian. Isn't that great to know? He loved you, and he's so glad you now decided to join his family. Romans 5, verse 7. Romans 5, verse 7. It tells us here in Romans 5, verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. He says, you know, for someone righteous, you would die. For a friend, a loved one, or someone righteous, you would die. You might dare to die. That'd even be hard. He says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were alienated from God, would you die for someone that raped your daughter? Of course not. You see, God, while we were yet sinners in our sin, we weren't righteous people, had Christ die for us. That demonstrates his love. And so that's why he's telling them here in John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. That word behold means be aware of. He's saying be aware of, consider what manner, that means what sort of love the Father, now he calls himself Father, has bestowed on us, means given to us, delivered to us. So he's saying, be aware of what sort of love the Father, your Father, has given to you. We need to be aware of it, that God loves us and he gave his Son for us. He's delivered to us. He's trying to make a point here that we should be called children of God. consider what sort of love your Father in heaven has given us. He's saying, oh, what a love, what an awesome love. We need to be mindful of God's love for us. You know what mindful means? You're mindful of God's love for you. At all times, focus on God's love. If we focus on God's love at all times, it will get us through a lot of times, difficult times. If we focus on God's love for us, if we get our mind off of that, we can get into doubt. Be mindful of God's love. God's love, the love of God is enormous. It's enormous. We are so blessed to be a Christian and experience God's love for us and have Him be our Father and we His child. What He's saying is God's love is great. As a parent watches a child go through chemo or some medical procedure and sees the pain and the suffering that they're going through, people can ask, how can a parent take it? How can a parent be part of that? Well, you know, a parent can be part of that. It leads to healing. It's because of your love for them that at times you allow them to go through things. You see? That's what he's saying about God. He so loved us that he allowed his son come down here and die for us. And so in many hard times in our life, many trials, the way we get through them is to realize God's love for us is enormous. And he's allowing us to go through whatever it is we're going through for a reason. Because there's good at the end of it, just like a parent watching a child. The child doesn't understand there's good in it. They don't understand that. They just know that it hurts. But thank God for the loving parent that allows them to go through it and see healing many times. See, that's the way it is when we go through stuff, when we think, well, if God loves me, then why? Well, because he takes us through things and refines us. On Sunday, we went over Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church, his second prayer in Ephesians 3, verse 18 and 19. Let's turn to Ephesians 3, verse 18. Ephesians 3, verse 18. We went through five parts of this prayer. What an awesome prayer to pray for spiritual wellness and spiritual well-being, which is more important than anything. Ephesians 3, verse 18. He says, he prays for this church. May you be able to comprehend, grasp with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, human knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He says, may you be able to grasp and grab onto the expanse of God's love so that you know the love of Christ. That was his prayer for the church. That's a good prayer for us. God, I want to understand how great your love is for me. Because when you do, it constrains you to love him back and to serve him. He prayed they would know the vastness and greatness of God's love. We're deeply loved. We're special. We're unique. Even though we're rebellious at times, like a rebellious child, you still love them. They don't always please the father. Don't always please the mother. But you still love them. So we can't say, oh, you don't love me anymore. God, I don't know that God loves me anymore. God will always love you, even in your rebellion. That's grabbing on to the love of God, how great it is. Did you ever feel that you weren't worthy of his love? Oh, who am I? God says, I love you. I love you. And we need to comprehend that. He says, oh, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, his son, his daughter. See, most of the world is not in that situation where they're God's child and they have their father in heaven taking care of them. Multitudes are alienated from God. They're not part of God's family. I would hate to be living in this world today apart from God. What a horrible place. See, God has called us out from the world to be his child. And we shouldn't fit into the world anymore. We should be uncomfortable in it. I'm sure you are at times. We are in the world, but we're not of it. Look at 1 John 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Where we're told, do not love the world or the things of the world. In the world, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We don't fit in. That's just the opposite of what John said about the counterfeits, which we just read, about the unbelievers, the false teachers. He says, they were in the church. Remember we read that? They were in the church, but they were not of it. That's why they left. What he's saying, you know, what he's saying about them is that. What he's saying about us is that we're in the world, but not of it. They're in the church, but not of it, and we're in the world, but not of it. That's the way it should be. So that creates a problem, which we're going to get into. That's why the world doesn't recognize us or get along with us. Because they're in the world and not in the church, and we're in the church and not in the world. So we're like aliens, because this isn't our home, our homeland. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Come out of the world, be separate. And you notice in verse 18 it says, I will be a father to you. It doesn't say, I will be a father for you. It doesn't just say he becomes our father. I will be a father to you. In other words, he's going to father us and take us, take care of us, because we're his sons and daughters. We come out of the world and he fathers us. That's a good deal. We have a good, good father, and we're called his children. We're a new creature in Christ. And then 1 John 3, verse 1, the end of it. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. They don't know the Lord. That's why the world doesn't know us. Like I said, we're different people. That's why we have this problem. And the world doesn't know us. The unbelievers, the world, don't recognize us as Christians, as children of God, because they don't really know God. They don't know what we have. They don't know we're a new creature in Christ. They don't know we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. A person will never experience that till they're born again. They're different. We're like two peoples living on this earth, believers and unbelievers. We're complete. But they don't know us. They probably look at you sometimes and say, you're weird, you're peculiar. The world doesn't recognize us because they don't really know God. We're peculiar to them. I can't just walk up to a young man and say, you look just like your dad. You act like your dad. If I don't know their dad, can I? If I don't know their dad, I can't say, hey, you look just like your dad. And you act just like your dad. He's weird and you're weird. Wow. You're a spitting image. But you can't do that unless you know the dad. And that's what John is saying. They don't know us. They can't recognize us. They have no idea what we're like because they don't know God. If they know God, then they'll know us. Christians love Christians. Because we know each other. You can sit down and have a conversation. Because we know the same dad. I don't know. You know, you look at someone and say, I don't know whose child that is. I don't know the dad. I don't know who they look like. But see, we act differently. Godly, not worldly. We follow Jesus. And the world wonders, who are you weird people? They don't understand this great relationship we have with God. Father and son, father and daughter. They don't understand that. The world can't comprehend all we have in Christ. The world doesn't understand why we live like we do. Why we don't do what they do. They don't understand why we do the things we do. Why? Because they don't know God. But as soon as they give their life to the Lord, they will understand it. So verse 2 now. Beloved, now we are children of God. See, we're children of God. We're a different breed here. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are children of God, whether the world knows us or not. And it has not been revealed what we shall be. That's still future. We're not going to remain in this body, in this condition, on this earth. When he is revealed, when the Lord comes for his church, when we're living in glory with the Lord, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But when we know that when he is revealed and we're with him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It doesn't mean we're physically going to be like him. But it talks about having a heavenly body. Don't know how we're going to know each other and how we're going to look. But apparently we're going to be different. You know, we're going to look different than we do here. But we're going to be like him. Morally, spiritually, be like him. We'll be complete. Satan won't be there. Sin won't be in our midst. You see, we shall be like him. Because we're going to see him. And be like him. Philippians 3, verse 20, please. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. See, we're going to be transformed. We're going to have a glorious new body like him. We won't be bound by physical things or gravity or anything like we are now. You know, Jesus, after his resurrection, just appeared in a room. That's the way it's going to be. We're not going to be bound. We'll be a new glorious body. Wouldn't that be great? No aches and pains. Wow. Just move around. We'll be in the new Jerusalem. We're not going to be equal with him. We're not going to be a God, some people believe, but we will have a glorified body, be morally free from sin and sickness. Right now, we're being conformed into the image of Christ, and then we'll be like him. That's the work that's going on now. The potter in the clay. We need a yield. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, out of the way. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're going to be transformed. Psalm 115. Psalm 115. verse 3. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. What he's saying here is people reflect their God. Those that worship all these other things, they're just like them. We believers should reflect our dad in heaven, reflect God. And one day we're going to be with him and have that glorious body. But we should reveal him in our life now. Now, there's so much about heaven we don't know yet. We know what we read today, what we read in the Bible. We know we're going to have new bodies. We know it's going to be great there, eternal. We know there's no more sorrow, pain, tears, former things passed away. But it's so awesome that it couldn't be explained in our language, the things even heard there. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. This is Paul talking about this experience he had. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or whether out of the body. Now, that's not 14 years ago from now. That was 14 years ago when he was writing. So there's nothing new here. I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Not the sky we see, not the atmosphere. Not, it's the third heaven where God dwells. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he's speaking of himself, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So he couldn't even speak about it. Of such a one I will boast. Yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. So he had this experience where he was caught up into paradise. Now, whether he saw anything there, we don't know. It doesn't say. But it says he was caught up into paradise. Maybe he saw things. But he heard words. He heard a heavenly language. He heard words which were inexpressible for him and not even lawful for a man to utter. So he heard things which our language, his language, could not explain, used in heaven. Inexpressible. So we can't even try. But we need to be excited about going there because there is this language of heaven. But if it's inexpressible, we can't even guess of what was said or what he saw. But it was just, it wasn't even lawful for him to utter, even though he couldn't express it in his own language. So we know that it's pretty awesome in heaven. And there's a language. There's words. And there's the Lord and angelic beings, and the saints will be there. It's going to be an exciting place in heaven. They're all going to be focused on the Lord. And so in verse 2 in 1 John 3 says, doesn't know what we shall be, but when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then everyone who has this hope, this is the hope we have. In him, the one who has this hope, and him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now we know we're pure through Christ. We're righteous in Christ. But we have this hope in him. Therefore, we should purify ourselves and not be in the world. Just as he is pure. Everyone who has this hope in him, the people who are saved, purifies himself just as he is pure. We should be going through this refining process and be pure. Are we going to ever be totally pure? No. thank God we're righteous in Christ. And he sees us that way. But our part is to be separated to the Lord, apart from the world. That's what God wants. Rid of sin. Be waiting and watching for the Lord through death or the rapture. And let this conforming work, that being conformed into the image of Christ, take place. Be living a holy, godly life and not ashamed when he comes, as we read in chapter 2, verse 28. Little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Not be in a backslidden state or in sin. Be in prayer and fellowship, worship. And the point is, don't sin against your dad. Be pure before him. Don't be in sin. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul writes here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, present ourselves, our bodies, our parts, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We say, here I am, God, I'm yours now. And do not be conformed to this world. We don't stay in the world and conform to the world anymore, but we be transformed, new people, by the renewing of your mind, a new mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's purifying ourselves, drawing close to the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If we ever fall to sin, as it says in 1 John, we confess, we repent, we have our sin washed away. We don't want anything in between our relationship. We purify our hearts and live for God. We purify ourselves. So, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And we want to live that way as the children of God. Next week we pick it up in verse 4. Talking about those that aren't really his. And we'll see their lifestyle. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that we are your children. We thank you for the great love that we experience. We ask you to create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit, Lord. Keep us in that place of walking with you, surrendered to you, yielded to you. We thank you that we're your children. We thank you, Lord, that one day we'll be with you in heaven. And we will enjoy that for all eternity. How wonderful to be shed of this body, these things we go through in this life. That's our hope. Lord, we don't fit in here, and we shouldn't. We thank you that you blessed us, and we have a chance to enjoy things you give us on this earth. But don't ever let our heart get set on them, Lord. We pray that you're always first, and that our love for you grows deeper and deeper. Even tonight, Lord, pour your Spirit out upon us here. And as we're going to pray in a moment, guide our prayers. I pray our prayers in spiritual in nature also, Lord. We want more of you and less of us. We want all you have for us, Lord. And we're so thankful that we can come to you and pray these things and you answer. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.